All right, hello and welcome to a new episode of the Jack Hallows podcast. I hope everybody is doing well and having an awesome week so far. Just want to start off by thanking every one of you who showed some love on the last episode with Lifting Lindsay. We actually broke the podcast record for most listens in the first 24 hours on an episode of this podcast. So a huge thank you to everybody who has listened so far and continues to engage and support with the podcast. It honestly means so much to me. As always, before we jump in, if you do enjoy the show, please consider leaving a 5-star review and subscribing potentially, whether you're on Spotify, Apple, whatever medium you're on. It doesn't cost a thing, but it does help me out a lot. So today, to jump straight in, I want to talk about making your training more time efficient. The big focus in the industry these days is optimal training, and personally, I think that is an awesome, noble thing to be trying to chase after all. Optimal literally means best possible. But given that I've trained clients at least 5 days a week, nearly every single week over the last 5 years, I can tell you now that best possible is always fluctuating depending on an individual circumstance and context. And my job as a coach is simply to find out how I can best optimize an individual's training based on their current circumstances. So for example, take myself. I'm a 26-year-old personal trainer. I work full-time, probably do 40 to 50 hours of work a week on clients, programming, content, business. But most of my clients are online now, meaning if I need to work from home, I can. And I also train at the same gym that I still train a handful of clients at, which means getting sessions in is very convenient. And because it's in the city, there's a ton of coffee shops around. So generally what I'll do is I'll go in and I'll train clients early in the morning, and then I'll go and sit down and have a coffee, answer emails, potentially start check-ins on a Monday and a Tuesday. So it's a very easy, streamlined way for me to get things done, and I'm never too far from the gym that I train at. And outside of that, my time is pretty much all my own. I live with my girlfriend, and she also works alongside studying full time. So we do still see quite a lot of each other, and we're both fairly on top of just spending time together in a way that is convenient, but still feels like quality time. But we don't have kids. We're mid-20s. We don't have those other responsibilities. Neither of us have an office job. Neither of us have to be somewhere constantly between a certain amount of hours. We don't have to be going and doing school runs and all these sorts of things. And this is why it makes me roll my eyes when I hear people say the phrase, "We all have the same 24 hours in a day." Yeah, not wrong, but it's how those 24 hours have to be filled that heavily influences how much time an individual can put into their training and nutrition. And this isn't an excuse to always just do the bare minimum, because believe me, you'll really struggle to get the results you're after long term in anything in life if all you do is strive consistently for a participation award. But that being said, it also means you don't need to be training and eating according to the latest PubMed studies in order to get those results. So the first talking point I want to cover is supersets. What is a superset? Well, instead of doing straight sets of a single exercise where, for example, you're doing chest press and you do a set, you rest, you do a set, you rest, you do a set, you rest, you move on, you alternate between two exercises. So you might do a chest press, rest, then do a set of seated row, rest, back to the chest press, and so on. And I honestly love supersets, and I have done for years. They're not a magic pill for hypertrophy or fat loss or anything, but they're pretty freaking great. And when you're training someone at 6 a.m. or 5 p.m. at the busiest times in the gym and you're struggling for equipment, they can really come in clutch, which for a lot of people is an unfortunate reality. We can't all train at 11 a.m. when the gym's as empty as the Geordie Shore airhead who told you a few minutes ago how their 24 hours is no different to yours. And even those who can likely don't have much more than 45 to 60 minutes available in a day to get their training in. The key is using supersets properly. I agree with people citing studies who say that supersets performed in a circuit manner probably harm your ability to grow muscle more than aid it, but that comes down to people misunderstanding how we use supersets when chasing hypertrophy goals. You shouldn't be doing exercise A, then going immediately into exercise B, back immediately into exercise A, repeating in that manner. That's some A-grade F45 shtick. Not that if you have goals of moving and feeling fit, there's anything wrong with that, but we're strictly talking about growing muscle and improving body comp or strength, because I feel like that's more the audience of this podcast. And this is where antagonist or opposing muscle group supersets are so damn good. Let's do some quick maths here. If we do 3 sets of a chest press and follow the 3-minute golden Instagram benchmark for rest periods, we're going to rest about a total of 9 minutes between those sets. If we then go and do the same with seated rows, we're going to rest another 9 minutes, meaning our total rest is about 18 minutes over the course of those 6 sets. Crazy, right? When you look at it that way. Instead, If we're in a hurry, we could do a set of chest press, rest 2 minutes, go into a set of seated row, rest 2 more minutes, and do 3 sets that way, and all of a sudden, we're now resting 6 minutes per movement instead of 9, and 12 minutes of total rest instead of 18, saving us 3 minutes of rest per exercise, and 6 over the course of the two combined, while not really sacrificing too much output because we still took a decent rest and worked completely opposing muscle groups. If we did that for, say, 6 exercises, we've just saved 18 minutes of rest time during a session, and it could be the difference between a 60-minute and 45-minute session. Now, I don't think you should always be supersetting for every pair of movements all the time. And for bigger movements like squats, deadlifts, pull-ups even for the majority of people at the majority of times, I'd always lean more towards straight sets. But this podcast is more to teach you that if you have to superset because you're short on time, or hey, even just because you enjoy it, it's probably not going to severely impact your gains when done intelligently. But how about same muscle group supersets? Well, in this instance, we do tend to use shorter rest times and structure them appropriately to drive up what's known as metabolic stress, which is another stimulus that we sometimes like to use concurrently with hypertrophy goals. Now, anecdotally, I do really like these, and I think pre-exhaust work especially, which is where we perform a short position exercise for muscle and follow it immediately with a mid to lengthened range exercise before a proper rest, has a place in a long-term macro cycle for lifting is chasing hypertrophy, which is a fancy way of saying that in a course of your training year, they could be cool to use at times and could even be beneficial. But it's a bit more of an advanced technique, and I do find it relies on the lifter being fairly in tune with their load management and ability to really dig deep and push through what are going to be some pretty awful sets to have to get through. Let me know in my Instagram DMs at @jackhallowsfitness if you'd like to see more content on agonist, same muscle group supersets, and how I'd use them. I'm going to skip over them for this podcast because really, for me, if you're just looking to save time and still be really efficient, antagonist is the way to go, so chest and back, quads and glutes, or quads and hammies, or something like that. But if you would like to see some content on that, let me know. The next thing I want to talk about is intensity techniques like rest pause or drop sets. I used to use these way too often. Honestly, it was laughable. They're one of those fairly old school bodybuilding techniques that back in the day, I'd just see all these jacked dudes do like 4 fucking drop sets per exercise. It was absolute madness. And I'd be like, yep, I'm going to do that. I'm going to absolutely end my life on the leg press. And then I'm going to do the same to my glides. I'm very glad I matured. Now, the truth of both drop sets and rest pause is they feel incredible. You're pushing yourself past failure, testing your limits on an exercise, and driving a shit ton of blood into that muscle, granted you do them right, which results in some pretty great pumps and things looking a lot bigger than they probably are. But again, they're probably not used as well as they could be by the majority of lifters. So what are they? Well, drop sets involve hitting your rep target, let's say a set of 10 reps, then immediately dropping the weight down by a pre-specified percentage and continuing the set until failure from there. Sometimes you might even do 2 to 3 drops if your coach is a sadistic bastard like myself. But there are a lot of mistakes people make with these. Firstly, use them sparingly, not constantly. I like throwing these in when a client is in a build phase, and I'll generally only use them on highly stable or fairly low level of complexity exercises because trust me, doing this on squats, while it looks cool for the Instagram algorithm, is a really stupid idea. And unless you're really advanced, it's probably going to be more likely to get you hurt. The whole point of the method is to take you past your usual point of failure and add an extra level of intensity to a set. So you want to make sure that you're set up in a really solid manner and doing them on a movement where there's not really going to likely be that much natural variance as you fatigue. So think about things like leg extensions or leg curls, chest presses, seated row, lateral raises. You're not going to be making huge amounts of errors on these exercises. And the other thing here is the drop and continuation needs to be quite quick. So if you're doing a leg press, for example, it's a very stable movement, but you're having to stand up, take a plate off one side, walk around and do the same on the other side, and it's kind of defeating the purpose because you really want these drops to be instantaneous. You want to finish the reps, basically pull the pin out of the pin stack, put it in the next block up, and keep going. So using a leg curl or a leg extension where you can do this is a lot more time conscious, not only for the total time that you're spending in the session, but for actually getting the most out of a drop set. And speaking of adding an extra level of intensity, don't go dropping the weight by like 30 to 50%, which is a mistake I see all the time. You know, I tend to see people just picking random intervals for a drop set. No, if you're programming them properly, you should be hitting a consistent amount that you're dropping each week. So if you do a set of 10 reps, you shouldn't be getting another 10 again on the drop. If you do, either A, the drop was too big, or B, you didn't go hard enough on the 10 reps in the first place. And both of those could be very real possibilities. It could even be a bit of both. But I always like to instruct my clients to perform their drop set like this. Hit your rep target with about one rep left in the tank, so a one RIR set. Don't go to true failure unless it's last week of a mesocycle and we really want to fuck some shit up, to be crude. Then make a small drop of around about 15% or as close as you can get. You should only then be able to get out a couple of extra reps and you'll truly be pushing beyond the failure point you would have hit at the end of the set normally. And finally on drop sets, how often should you use them? Well, a couple of pointers on this. Only use them on the last set of an exercise. Otherwise, your performance is genuinely just going to tank on subsequent sets. Like if you do it on the first set and you absolutely mess yourself up, how the hell are you going to get two or three more like really solid sets out after that? You're probably not. So try to keep them to the last set and try to keep them as well to one, maybe two maximum exercises per workout and one per muscle group at that. So if you're doing lower body, you'll probably be okay to say do one on the hip thrust machine and one on the leg extension, for example. But you wouldn't want to do like a Bulgarian split squat drop set of doom and then do the same on a leg extension. Good luck recovering there. And also try to include them mostly in build phases where energy, carbs, and hopefully recovery are going to be really high and put you in a really good position to get the most out of these techniques. Because you know, they're called intensity techniques for a reason. They really do drive that intensity up if you use them correctly. And they can then require a lot of extra recovery. So you need to make sure that that's on point too. Now, rest pause sets have a similar goal and structure to drop sets in that you are pushing yourself past your normal failure point. But instead of dropping the weight, you're breaking the set up by having a small pause to rest. Kind of in the name, hey, when you think about it. And it actually took me an embarrassing long time to make that connection that a rest pause set was that you're pausing the set by resting and then you're continuing. But yeah, anyway, with a rest pause, we're finishing our allotted reps. Again, let's go back to that 10 rep target. And then instead of dropping the weight, we actually rest about 15 to 20 seconds and continue the set with the same load. You may have heard this called myoreps or clusters, but the difference between a cluster and a rest pause is that clusters will generally have a preset total. So you might do 10 reps broken up into a cluster of 5, a cluster of 3, and a cluster of 2. Whereas rest pause is simply hitting your 10 reps and then continuing to failure when you start again. And there's no like quantifiable amount that you specifically have to get. It's kind of just saying, okay, I want you to get between somewhere between maybe 3 and 6 extra reps, for example. But it's important here to keep the rest time to that 15 to 20 seconds so that again, you're not overachieving. If you're getting another 10 reps, then my friend, you have either rested way too long or you need to back yourself more on the weight that you've set yourself. But how did these methods help you save time? Well, we know that really volume probably isn't the most important thing on the planet for muscle growth. It is important, it does matter, but maybe not as much as training closely to failure does. So if, for example, your program has you doing 3 sets of each of your movements and progressively getting closer to failure, you may potentially see similar gains by doing 2 sets and performing one of these intensity techniques on that second set instead of having to do an extra set when you're in a rush. So you might be training legs and you do your squats, lunges, and hip thrusts as normal. But when you come to the end of the session and you've got to do some back extensions and some leg extensions, you might do a drop set on the back extension and then a rest pause on the leg extension and find that saves you a solid 6 to 7 minutes. And instead of having to skip the movements entirely, you're able to just condense the work that you're doing slightly. It's not a perfect science, but it's likely going to be a solid option to take if you're just trying to buy 5 minutes or so off the end of your workout so you can have a quick shower before you go to work. Again, real-world problems require real-world solutions, not controlled PubMed study solutions. Now, these aren't the only alternatives if you're looking to save time and still make gains. Exercise selection is going to play a part here. And the more in tune you get with your body and your ability to perform on certain movements, the better you'll get at knowing where your starting weights are going to be. So your warm-ups, for example, won't take as long. Potentially as well, I've also had clients who, while they may not be able to train for as long, have been able to train 5 days a week. So I'll give them shorter sessions, for example, which is a really good practical way of getting around not having enough time to spend an hour and a half in the gym. But these are my favorite go-tos when looking to make subtle tweaks to your workout plan. Whether it's for yourself or you're a trainer out there who's got a client whose schedule has started to get a little bit hectic, these are some really good ways to do that. I do also like mechanical drop sets, which I didn't really touch on here, which is where you basically tweak the execution of a movement or the setup to make it a little bit easier to continue the set. You can actually see a really good example of this on my Instagram that I posted recently on the leg extension by performing, say, 10 reps normally, whereby that top position where the quad is shortened is going to be the hardest part of the movement. Then you can continue the set by just leaning really far back in the seat. And now the bottom portion of the movement is going to be the hardest. We've already fatigued the top portion, so now we can do the bottom portion, which hasn't been worked as hard. So these can be really cool ideas as well. They just take a little bit more thought process, and sometimes they're maybe not as practical, especially if you're not really an advanced lifter. But that's all for today. Really quick bonus episode here. I just wanted to get in, give you some value, and get out. But as always, if you're after coaching yourself, I do have coaching spots still open with Team Atlas. And given the European and American summers are coming fast, I do expect those to fill up quite quickly. But you can find the link down below, or it's teamatlas.com.au. You can also follow me on social media for more content, where I try to condense things like this podcast into shorter, more accessible mediums that you can refer to whenever you need them. You can also send me DMs on Instagram and ask me questions about any of this sort of stuff. I love to try and get back to everyone where I can. Sometimes I miss messages, so if I do miss one from you, please don't be afraid to message me again or to comment on something being like, hey, you ignored me, and I'll try and get back to you, I promise. You're also welcome to suggest guests that you'd like to have on the podcast. I've got some really exciting ones coming up, and I'll be back next Friday with another guest episode, which I think you're all really going to enjoy. But until then, I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend and a fantastic week leading into that next podcast. I'll speak to you all soon. Cheers. Goodbye.